Is it time to reimagine your future? The right business skills may make a difference in your career. At Capella University, we offer a relevant education that's designed to focus on what you need to know in the business world. We'll teach professional skills to help you pursue your goals, like business management, strategic planning, and effective communication. And you can apply these skills right away. A different future is closer than you think with Capella University. Learn more at capella.edu.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, new data released from the Society of Irish Motor Industry, that SIMI, shows that a significant fall in the number of electric vehicles sold in 2024 compared to the year prior. Overall, 17,459 new electric cars were registered in Ireland, representing a 23% fall from 2023. But what does this apparent crisis of consumer confidence tell us about the future of EVs? Delighted to be joined now by Philip Nolan. He's the motoring correspondent with the Irish Daily Mail. Good morning to you, Philip. How are you?
Good morning, Bobby. I'm good. Thank you.
Now, I'm very interested in this subject because I have a personal interest in it, Philip, in that I bought a 2019 Jaguar I-Pace for 60 grand about 3 years ago. And I checked this morning and I see it's worth just over 20,000 euros. So I'm 40 grand in the hole in less than 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, that is a problem at the moment. Second-hand values for EVs have actually dropped quite considerably. A lot of that was down to the fact that actually, Tesla started it first and foremost by dropping the price of their new EVs. And so that kind of depressed the market for second-hand values, obviously. And, you know, there are people who are quite angry about that, but other manufacturers did have to follow suit. And, of course, we're now getting a lot of Chinese EVs into Ireland, and they also are very reasonably priced. So it's a market that hasn't quite settled, I think, is the best way to describe it, Bobby. You know, it's fluid at the moment.
Is it a case of the second mouse getting the cheese in terms of early adopters really taking a huge depreciation hit, and maybe that the second-hand EV market might offer value for new entrants?
Well, it certainly will offer value for new entrants. The thing about it is, yes, I mean, I think that the early adopters have been rinsed out of the system. There were people who genuinely bought their cars because they believed in, you know, the environmental aspect of it. And then, of course, we were told that we would have to get rid of ICE cars, or ICE cars wouldn't be sold after 2030. That's now 2035. And I wouldn't be surprised, given the pressure that Germany can put on the European Union, I wouldn't be surprised if that goes out a little bit further either. So the uncertainty as to whether or not you can buy a car, that you will have to buy a car within 7-8 years that's electric, that's actually skewing the market as well, I think, because people literally don't know what's happening.
Yeah. Where do we go from here then? Because clearly, you know, government policy, we would want us all buying EVs, but they don't seem to be offering any incentives. There's still range anxiety out there. The infrastructure is poor. It has improved slightly, but it's still poor. And maybe people are just beginning to wonder, is this all it's cracked up to be?
Yeah, I mean, there are still grants. The SEIA grant of 3,500 is still available for cars priced at less than 60,000 euro. And obviously there's a difference in the VRT rate as well. But, you know, price is a big issue for people, and electric cars are expensive. But like two now who've come along this year, the new Dacia Spring is starting at 16,990. And the Hyundai Inster is starting at 18,995. Now, they're both urban cars, you know, they're city cars. But for anybody who does live in a city and whose you know, daily mileage is not very much, you'd only have to charge those once a week, to be honest. So, you know, that will help when prices come down. But for a family car, you know, you're probably looking at minimum 35,000 all the way up to that 60,000 threshold. So that definitely is actually having an effect on the market as well.
What about the infrastructure and the availability of you know, fast charging? Because a lot of the chargers that are out there, this the sort of old world slow stuff that you have to hook up for 3 and 4 hours, is a complete no-no. And they surely need to be replaced.
Yeah, they are slowly. I mean, like, if anybody who's familiar with South Dublin, Carrick Mines got 8 new high-speed ESP chargers I live in North County Wexford, and the local motorway service station just out north of Gorey had four high-speed Amity chargers, now has six. So slowly but surely we're getting there. I think the problem that people have is that even with six chargers there, I've arrived and all six have been in use. Or else if five are in use, the reason the sixth one isn't in use is because it's actually out of order. And that's the frustration of it, is that, you know, if you drive a nice car, petrol or diesel, you know you're just going to a garage and you're just going to fill it up. Whereas when you're in an EV, like I drove an EV to my nephew's wedding last December, 12 months up in the wilds of Donegal, and I stopped three times each way, basically, just to be sure. I didn't necessarily have to, but once you see a charge station, you think, I'm going to go in there. And, you know, the other problem with that is that the hidden cost of electric motoring is basically coffee and McDonald's, to be honest with you, Bobby.
In that you basically just, you go and have a coffee or you go and get a burger because you need to charge, not because you're hungry or thirsty.
Well, you sit there for half an hour. I mean, what I've started to do now just to avoid that temptation is just download programs from, you know, the streamers on my phone and just sit there and watch a half-hour sitcom or something like that just to pass the time. But, you know, it is also the case that people, I don't think, realize that, you know, they think, oh, well, there's a 250 kilowatt charger, but the car might only be able to take in charge at 100 kilowatts. So, you know, there is a gap as well between the speed the car can take in charge and the speed the speed that the unit might actually be able to deliver. And they don't always meet up, unfortunately.
I also noted in the CIMI figures that the level of imports of cars has risen quite significantly, up by 21%. Does that mean that we're getting imports of electric cars in from the UK, per se?
I would say that most, I'm not familiar with the actual breakdown of the figures, but I would suspect that most of those imports are still petrol or diesel cars, to be honest. But equally, yeah, I mean, that is an interesting situation. I think they're about 60,000 this year, is it? And that's definitely up from the low, because, you know, at one point we thought that the NOx tax would actually hammer that market on the head, but that no longer seems to be the case. But equally, I think a lot of people have just decided that a hybrid or a plug-in hybrid is the best halfway house for them. The sales of those are up, and it just suits people, I think, to have the benefits of semi-electric driving without having to go the whole hog just yet.
Yeah, because if you look at hybrid, electric and plug-in hybrids, they're actually making up 45% of the market, which is, that's very impressive. When you look at that, it's almost half. So that one in two is effectively having some form of electrification.
Exactly. And it also has completely changed our driving habits here, because the electric cars and plug-in hybrids and hybrids are automatic. And last year, two out of every three cars sold in Ireland was an automatic. Whereas I would say a generation ago, an automatic was something you thought of when you looked at, like, America. We just didn't drive automatics in Ireland. Very few of us did. So our driving patterns have completely changed because of plug-in hybrids and regular hybrids and EVs.
And finally, can I ask you, I see that the most popular body type of car sold last year was a hatchback, but the most popular colour was grey for the ninth year running. That makes us a very boring nation, does it not, if we're all buying grey cars?
It actually makes my heart sink. When I look at some of the cars, like I drive a different car every week, and when I see some of the newer colours, I love colours like the Mazda Soul Red Crystal. It just pops when you drive it on the road in Ireland, no matter what the season. And then you see people buying grey cars. I understand it, though, because they're probably easier to sell on the second-hand market. I always remember one salutary lesson, you know, when Mini first came out with a big range of colours, you couldn't sell a second-hand yellow Mini for love nor money. So you do have to be careful. But equally, the main colours are they're grey and black, and I think silver, I think maybe the third one. And, like, just give us a bit of colour on the roads, for heaven's sake, you know, let the car sing.
Well, you heard it here, folks. I totally agree with you, Philip, and great to talk to you again. We'll talk to you later in the year, and wishing you a happy new year, and thanks as always for your great analysis.
Many happy returns, Bobby.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.
Is it time to reimagine your future? The right business skills may make a difference in your career. At Capella University, we offer a relevant education that's designed to focus on what you need to know in the business world. We'll teach professional skills to help you pursue your goals, like business management, strategic planning, and effective communication. And you can apply these skills right away. A different future is closer than you think with Capella University. Learn more at capella.edu.